I read this story just, the other week. And I like it. Two little girls they were. We'll call them Susan. What's another good little girl's name, you reckon? Abigail. Do you like Abigail? Sound like a good name? We'll call her Abigail and what's the other one? Susan. And they must have had an older sister who was quite a bit older because she was married. And mother said, okay, you can go and visit your sister. Good idea. But to go and visit their sister, they had to go through some rather dark woods. Trees, tall trees. And mum said, okay, if you want to go and visit your sister, that's fine, but you've got to get back before dark. Right? So off they went to see their sister. And they had a good time. But it was getting late. And they knew they should have been on the road a bit sooner. But never mind, we're heading for home. And then they got to the woods, right? So you know a game you would play if you were walking along? They started playing, we call it I Spy. I spy this, or can you see that? Right? Ever played that game? You have? Yeah. Well, as they were walking along, they were saying, you know, I can spy something beginning with. And then one little girl said, I think it was Susan, just said, I can spy a panther. And she looked, and just up the track was a panther. And it wasn't imaginary, it was real. And two little girls thought, ooh, a panther. We didn't bargain on this. And you know what the panther did? It crouched down, ready to spring. Because you know what it saw, don't you? It saw two little dinners walking towards it. And they looked tasty. And one little girl said, I know. I think if you sing, they'll go away. So she said, let's see if we can sing. Well, they weren't very good at singing, but they started singing. And they sang louder. And I thought, there's no point running away. It ain't going to work. So they sang. And the panther sat down and his tail was twitching. And the little girls kept singing and they kept walking and they walked right past that panther singing. And the tail was twitching. And they kept walking and they kept walking. They didn't dare look back. And then they looked up, and over the hill came their mum. And a horse and wagon, wondering, where are my two girls? And then she heard this singing. And the girls were singing a hymn at the top of their voices. And as they walked through, one looked back, and the old panther had started walking off in the opposite direction. And when mother got them into that wagon, she noticed they looked rather pale. They looked very white. And it was only then that the two little girls told their mum what they had just witnessed, what they had just experienced. I reckon their guardian angel was right beside them that day, don't you? Yeah, I think so too. You may go back to your seats. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we open your word this morning, We pray that we will be challenged by what we read and strengthened and encouraged. Be here, we pray, by your Holy Spirit, we ask. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In the story that we read, just read, we looked at the conversion of Saul. And all too often when we go through the Bible, we often, and understandably so, look at those who are the heroes, the ones who lead out in the Bible. But in actual fact, in the Bible we find that there are a number of people who really don't get a mention. In fact, in this story of the conversion of Saul, only one gets a mention, and that's Ananias. But there are others. But let's go back to this scene. Acts chapter 9, verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house. And putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose, and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. It is interesting that after he received his sight, Saul spent certain days with the people of Damascus. What happened? What happened there with those people? What did they share with him? What did they teach him? We do not know anything about these people, but one thing we do know is that they all would have played a part in putting this man on a path that would see him to become the person that we know and love. And for all of us, we are sometimes guilty of only seeing the wonderful preaching that became the thing that Paul was so great at doing. But we forget that to get to this point, Paul was willing to learn from others. Yes, he was a Pharisee. Yes, he was a leader. But from Damascus to when he started again, he had to go through some relearning. And I'm sure those unknown people played a very vital role in the relearning. Yes, it is said, but with his background, he already knew it all. But he was willing to learn, still yet, from others. And herein lies our first lesson that we need to learn. That we never fall into the trap of thinking that we have arrived, that we know it all. We can all learn something. And the Apostle Paul was willing to learn. He was willing to listen. And by being willing to listen, he became the effective preacher that we know him to be. But you know, there are others also who played background roles. Come with me to Exodus. Exodus chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. And there was a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him for 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and dubbed it with slime of his pitch, and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And the maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maids to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "Hey, this is one of the children's, Hebrew's children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse his child for you, for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. What a story. A couple. And yes, we know their names to be Amram and Jochebed, having a child when it was not wise to do so. But they wanted the child, and they were determined to keep it. And with the finding of that child by Pharaoh's daughter, and her desire to make him a part of her life, they knew that their child had a future. But, it came with a but. They could only have that child for a few years before Pharaoh's daughter would want to take it back to the palace. Imagine if you were Jochebed. What would you teach your son in the few years that you had him for? How she must have spent many, many a day training, teaching, instructing. Because she would know that when Moses, well, that wasn't the name she gave him, but she knew that when her child got to Pharaoh's court, it would be a totally different ball game, would it not? From a humble Hebrew home to Pharaoh's palace. What a contrast. What a contrast. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us a beautiful insight into this situation. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, 23. Hebrews 11, 23. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith Moses, when he came of years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know, did the parents live to see what their son would really become? Did they live to see him come back and get the people of Israel out of Egypt? We don't know. We don't know. But they had done their part. And they did it well. In many ways, they are the unsung hero of the story of Moses. They put the foundation in place in bringing up that child. And because they put the foundation in place, we today benefit. 1 Kings 17. Here we've got another situation. 1 Kings 17 and verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Abraham, As the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be any dew nor rain these years, but according unto my word. Elijah. What do we really know about Elijah? We know that he was Elijah the Tishbite. He was part of the inhabitants of Gilead. Beyond that, we know nothing. We do not know anything about who his parents were. We don't know if he had siblings. But for him to present himself like the way he did, it could be said, safely said, that his parents were godly people. They taught their son about the true God, that he was willing to put his trust in him. I remember in Uncle Arthur's Bible stories, how it puts it so beautifully that he was taught to say what? Does anyone remember? My God is Jehovah. My God is Jehovah. But more than that, when the call came for him to stand in front of King Ahab, Elijah was willing to go and to stand. He was not afraid to do so. And so we look at this man and see him for the giant that he was. And he was a giant for his time. But what we must not forget is that behind him were very godly parents who trained him, who taught him, who prayed for him, who guided him in the right direction so that he could be used of God. And use him God did in a very, very mighty way. Daniel. Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. Come with me there. Daniel chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Aspenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was found no blemish, but well favoured and skilful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding sights, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language, the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, and at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now, among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, under whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. But under Daniel, the name of Belteshazzar, Hananiah, Shemrach, the Messiah, Meshach, and Azariah of Abednego. And Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel and his three friends stand out. We know them. We love them. Picture these young fellows in a strange land, far from home. They were placed in a situation where they had to make a stand, as it were, for their faith. And keeping in mind that they were in the household of what was the most powerful man in the world at that time, Nebuchadnezzar, what would you do? And while it is an easy thing to say what a wonderful person Daniel and his friends were, what we need to remember, they were brought up in good homes. They were brought up in good homes. They were taught to know right from wrong. They would have been encouraged to make good choices and encouraged when they chose on the side of God. Who were their parents? We don't know. We don't know. But we can safely say they would have been good people. And how proud they would have been if they knew that their son would eventually take the role of being the Prime Minister of a foreign land. And in all of this, he remained true to the God of his fathers. Luke chapter 1. Here we've got another beautiful story. Yes, all these people who we looked at this morning, behind each one of them were unknown people who guided, who directed, who loved, who lifted them up, who put them on the right path. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Beginning with verse 5. Luke chapter 1. Verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest by the name of Zacharias, of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and orders of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of the incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for the prayer is heard. And the wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Picture the scene. The couple is childless and they're getting old. What would be their hope now? But they must have been special. For God saw fit that they would be the parents of a very, very special child. We know that the father was a priest and that he played a special role in the church. And yes, it would appear that he was very well loved. The mother was a wonderful lady. She was a faithful helpmate to her husband. But now they were given the huge challenge of bringing into the world a child in their old age and training him to be the special person for the Lord. But do the task they did. John the Baptist was the person who grew up to fear the Lord and did mighty things that would turn the people back to God. They listened to his words and knew that he was indeed a person sent to them from heaven. But his parents seemed to fade back into the background, and you do not hear about them anymore. But they did their job faithfully in bringing up their son, and he was a great person. But why look at these people? Why? Because there is a lesson that we can learn from them. And that being that we all can make a difference. We may not have the leader's role. We may not be up front preaching the sermon. But we can all be the one to give encouragement to others. To the one who makes the grade. You know, I can speak of this because I grew up in a little country church. And the reason I can stand here this morning is because of the encouragement I received as a teenager. Those who did it, they just fade. But we each can play a part. These people, probably the two that played the best part, no longer attend church. But you know, we all can play that part. Each of us can play a minor part. We can each try and stand true and be faithful. It may just be an unknown person to you and to me. But with encouragement, what can that person become? What can you become? What can I become? Someone once said, very aptly, that no person is an island. No person is an island. We can all play a part and make a difference. These people, these minor people, played their part. And what a huge difference they made. What a huge difference. Through a faithful witness, Saul became the Apostle Paul. Through faithful diligence, we have Moses. We don't know their names, but because they loved their son, we know Elisha. Daniel's mum and dad were faithful. And he became the Prime Minister of Babylon. But what can you do? We can all play a part. We can all touch the lives of others. And my challenge for us today is, hey, be faithful. Be courteous, be kind, be loving. Because Because the person who we are touching in a minor way with encouragement can become someone special for God. Let us touch someone today. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us so much. May we allow you into our hearts even more, that we can be that positive witness, that positive influence to others who we meet. Go with us now, we pray, for this week. Keep us safe until we meet again at your feet next week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.